is Hebrew Club at Concordia Seminary. We're continuing in the narrative of 1 Samuel chapter 15, where God sent Samuel to go and tell Saul to go down and avenge Israel on the Amalekites for the way that the Amalekites had opposed them a long time before when they were coming up out of Egypt. So Saul has led the armies down. He's conquered Amalek. And unfortunately, instead of devoting them all to destruction, every man and woman, child and suckling, camel and donkey and bull and sheep, like Yahweh commanded, he has kept Agag, the king, alive, and he's also kept a number of the choice animals. And Samuel has come then to confront him, and in our last time together we talked a little bit about that confrontation, talked about the way that the character's speech, especially the words that Saul speaks, really reveal his heart. That's the way that Hebrew narrative works, to really characterize a person. You listen carefully to their words. Saw little clues like Saul referring to God as your God, Yahweh your God, when he speaks to Samuel. Also, it was very interesting to watch the way that every time that he talked about the preservation rather than the destruction of the animals, it was always the people who did it, or they. It was never him. But whenever he talked about those that had been put to death, then it's always either us, we did it, or I did it. And we're going to see that pattern continue in these verses. So we had just read verse 16, and Samuel said to Saul, "Stop it, drop it, so that I may tell to you that which Yahweh spoke to me at night." And he said, Saul did to him, "Speak." So here now is Samuel giving God's words to Saul, his words of warning and judgment. Verse 17, "Vayomer Shemuel, Halo im katon ata ba'eneka, rosh shivte Yisrael ata." Let's stop there. And Samuel said, and we have this hello. This is not a friendly American greeting, hello. This is the interrogative hey in front of the negative lo. And it functions to set up a question that's going to be posed in a negative way. So, is it not, or didn't? That kind of a negative question. We have to look ahead to see what that's going to be. In a sense, the whole rest of the verse can be governed by this hello. So the whole rest of this verse now we can think of as posing as a negative question. The next word is im, which oftentimes means if or when, a conditional particle. Here it could mean when. It could also have a slightly different sense, a concessive sense, even though. Let's read this phrase first of all as a when and then as an even though. The difficult thing about this line here is there's no verb. So we actually have two clauses. Both of them are verbless clauses, and you need to somehow find a way to understand them in the proper relationship. And verbal tense is going to help you with that proper relationship. Unfortunately, since we're dealing with verbless clauses, we have to just get the sense from the context. So, im katon ata, when small you, ba'eneka, in your eyes. So when you are small in your eyes, when you were small in your eyes, something like that. Rosh Shivte Yisrael ata. Both of them talking about Saul, ata, you. The head of the tribes of Israel, you were. So when you were small in your eyes, the head of the tribes of Israel, you were. Perhaps we could say something like, when you were small in your eyes, you became the head of the tribes of Israel. Or if we made it concessive, the inconcessive, even though you were small in your eyes, you became Rosh Shivte Yisrael, head of the tribes of Israel. This is a reference back to chapter 9, where when Samuel comes to anoint Saul, Saul hesitates and he says, "I'm just a guy from Benjamin, right? I'm just a guy from the tribe of Benjamin, smallest tribe, from one of the least families. He describes himself as Katon. And so Samuel's making reference to that, reminding him of that. Though you were small in your own eyes, you became head of the tribes of Israel. And then the rest of the verse. Vayim shakaka Yahweh lamelech al Yisrael. And Yahweh anointed you, from mashak, with the ka ending there, the object suffix. And Yahweh anointed you lamelech as king al Yisrael, over Israel. All of this could be governed by that first hello, that negative interrogative. And you could say in English something like, isn't it the case, isn't it true that even though you were small in your own eyes, you became head of the tribes of Israel, ? And isn't it true that Yahweh anointed you as king over Israel, ? Verse 18 then could either change into a simple declarative statement, or it could continue this negative question. Vayishlakaka Yahweh baderek. And Yahweh shalak you, sent you, on a derek, on a path. Some translations translate this on a mission. In other words, he sent him someplace. He sent him on a journey. What is the journey that Yahweh sent him on? In 1 Samuel 15, where has Yahweh sent Saul? He sent him down to Amalek. The mission is, go down to Amalek, devote them all to Karim, to destruction. So when Yahweh sent you on a mission, Vayomer Lake, and now this is reporting God's speech, and he said, Lake, go, the imperative of Halak, Baha Karamta, this is the Vav consecutive Hifil perfect. The root is Karam, which is Hifil basic, and it's the verbal form of the noun Karam, devoted to destruction. So the Vav consecutive perfect continues the imperatival sense. And you, so he said to you, go and you devote to destruction. Now we're going to have two direct objects in a row that are in apposition. Et ha kata'im et amalek. And you devote to destruction the sinner's Amalek. The sinner's Amalek. So two ways of describing the same people, calling the Amalekites sinners. And another imperative then, actually a Vav consecutive perfect acting as another imperative. Vanil kamta. This is the nifal of lakam. Lakam is nithal basic, so it has its active sense. And wage war, bow, against him, against Amalek, an adversative bait. Ad kalotam otam. This is a temporal clause now. Wage war for how long? Ad kalotam. Kalotam is a PL infinitive construct. Kalot. From a third hey verb. Remember the third heys in the infinitive construct get that ot ending. You can tell it's PL by the initial a vowel and the doubled lamed. So literally, kala means to complete or to finish or to exterminate in the PL. So literally, until they're exterminating. Notice the am ending. Until they're exterminating, direct object them. So it's a little strange here. Everything's directed directly towards Saul in the second person singular. You go, you devote them to destruction, you wage war against them until they cut off them. So it's perhaps referring to Saul's army until they cut off them. If you take a look at the note there in BHS in the critical apparatus, some manuscripts end the infinitive form there instead of with an om, they have ka on the end, which reads a little more naturally, until you're exterminating them. In other words, until you exterminate them. All right, any questions on verse 18? All right, all of this then is Samuel's reminder to Saul. Isn't all this stuff true? Right? Yahweh took you when you were small, made you head. He anointed you as king. He sent you on a mission. He told you exactly what to do to exterminate Amalek. And now here comes the pointed question. The Lama. Then why? Lo Shemata Bekol Yahweh. This really is a major line in this narrative. And if you've noticed, all the way along there's a huge emphasis on listening, the verb Shema, and also a big emphasis on voice and words. It's a lot like Genesis 3 language, right? Why did you listen to the voice of your wife? And all of the emphasis on who are you going to listen to? And Saul hasn't listened to the right thing. Shema plus ba and its object oftentimes has a sense not just listen, like you hear the vocables, but hearken to in an active sense. So a lot of times it's translated obey. In fact, I think the NIV translates this verse, the beginning of 19 here, as why didn't you obey Yahweh? But while that's accurate, it also misses the sense of the connection between the obeying and the word, the obeying and the voice of God, the listening part. So I think it's good to, maybe you could say hear and obey or something for Shema plus Fa here. Why didn't you hear or hearken to the voice of Yahweh? And now here's the accusation again against Saul. The Ta'at el Hashalal, and you, the root here is eat, a hollow root, ayin, yod, tate. And it's not a very common verb. The sense seems to be, it's one of these words that you can't put into English in one word, rush down upon with shouts. So rush down upon something with shouts. And the object here is el Hashalal, to the plunder. Why did you rush down with shouts to or upon the plunder? Bata'as hara ba'enei Yahweh. And do, and you did, this evil in the eyes of Yahweh. So why did you not hearken to the voice of Yahweh? And you rushed down upon the plunder and you did this evil thing in the eyes of Yahweh. You might say that you did these things. Any questions on that verse?
Observation here, we're dealing with a singular you here, obviously. So mm-hmm. It's not a collective you. He's speaking specifically to the Saul here.
Yeah, that's a great comment. These are this remains singular. The accusation is singular. Even with a verb like rush down with shouts upon the plunder, you know, you can picture the whole army after the victory descending, but Samuel is making it very pointed, and it's completely the opposite of the way that Saul is portraying the situation, where everything was the people. Alright. Yeah, good observation. Alright, verse 20. Vayomer Shaul el Shemuel. And Saul said to Samuel, Asher. Now, this is another example. We've seen a number of these through this narrative where Asher does not work well as the relative pronoun. And I think I mentioned last time that oftentimes that when it's not functioning as the relative pronoun, you can ask yourself, what if the word ki were here? Because sometimes there's some overlap between ki and Asher in terms of their functions. And here it works well as a signal for discourse. So, and Saul said to Samuel, actually it's almost like Lamor here, it's Asher is functioning to introduce what's said. Shemati Bekol Yahweh. Okay, he directly challenges Samuel's assessment. I obeyed the voice of Yahweh. Shemati Bekol Yahweh. Va'elek Baderek. Asher Shalakani Yahweh. And I went on the path, or on the journey, the mission, which Yahweh sent me. V'avi et Agag Melek Amalek. And I brought, the hifil of bow there, avi, and I brought, direct object, Agag, the king of Amalek. So I did obey, he's saying. I went on the journey, like I was told. I brought Agag, the king of Amalek. V'et Amalek, he haramti. This is the Hifil perfect from Karen again. or Hakaram teeth. And notice it's first person singular again. But the Amalekites I devoted to destruction. So what is Saul owning up to here? He captured the king. He devoted the Amalekites to destruction, like Yahweh said. But notice how he continues in verse 21. Vayekach ha'am. And the people lakacht. The people took me ha'shalal tzon uvakar. And the people took me ha'shalal from the plunder, from the spoil, tzon uvakar, sheep and cattle. Reshit ha'kerem. Reshit ha'kerem. Reshit is kind of like in Genesis, bereshit, right? It's beginning or the first things. So it can mean the best parts, the first parts. The first parts of the spoil, or of the devoted things. The first part of the devoted things. Why did they take it? He's apologizing for them. The next word. Liz Boak, La Yahweh, Eloheka. In order to Zavak, to sacrifice to Yahweh, again, your God. Notice the way Saul characterizes God here. He's Samuel's God. In order to sacrifice to Yahweh, your God, at Gilgal. Reshit here, the first parts of the devoted things, has a little bit of a ring of sacrificial language to it. It's kind of like first fruits offering. In fact, Reshit is used in the discussion of that word is used in the Torah in terms of the first fruits offering. So it's all on the up and up, Saul's saying. They did take from the devoted things, but it was as the first parts for you, or for your God, Samuel, for Yahweh to sacrifice. All right. Verse 22. Vayomer Shemuel, and Samuel said, and notice how the editors now put this in poetic form because of the parallelism of these statements. Ha kefetz la Yahweh ba'olot uza vakim. This is an interrogative hey at the beginning here. It has a patak instead of your normal compound schwa because it's before a guttural. An interrogative hey, and the first noun there means delight, or pleasure, or joy. So he's asking a question. Joy to Yahweh, delight to Yahweh, in whole burnt offerings, olot, and zavakim, sacrifices? This is a possessive lamed then, la Yahweh. Does Yahweh have joy in whole burnt offerings and sacrifices? Well, what's the answer to this, according to the scriptures? Does Yahweh have joy in whole burnt offerings and sacrifices? Well, yeah, he does, but Samuel doesn't stop there. Notice how he continues. Kishmoa b'kol Yahweh, as obeying or hearkening to the voice of Yahweh. This use of kuh here is a little bit like its normal use of as or like, but maybe a better translation in English would be as much as here, comparing comparative measures here. So, does Yahweh have joy in whole burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as, and you can supply, he has delight or joy in listening to his voice, hearkening to the voice of Yahweh? Behold, hene, shemoa mizbeach tov. Listening, shemoa, notice the infinitive construct there. It's acting here as a true gerund in English. It is the subject of the clause. It's acting as a noun, listening. Behold, listening, or hearkening, obeying, mizbeach tov. From sacrifice is good. What kind of a min is this here?
Comparative
min. Behold, listening is better than sacrifice. Lahakshiv, another infinitive construct, this time from kashav, which in the Hifil means to pay close attention to. Paying close attention, may kelev elim. From the fat of rams, another comparative min here. Kalev is fat, and Elim is the plural of ayil, ram. So from the fat of rams. Paying close attention is better than, in other words, the fat of rams, another reference to sacrifice. The next line is pretty difficult just because of the vocabulary, although the sense is pretty clear. Ki katat kesem meri. For the sin of kesem, divination, meri. Meri is a noun, that's not a first common singular ending or something, that's just the normal form of the noun meri. And it means rebellion or obstinance. And so, literally what it says here, woodenly, for the sin of divination is rebellion or obstinance. The sin of...
Yeah, could you turn that around and say rebellion is...
Yeah, that's the question here, is what is being condemned as being like something else? And what's the problem here? Is it that Saul has practiced divination? No, he's been rebellious. He's been obstinate against Yahweh. And so Samuel is saying, it'll become more clear in the second clause here, what you've done is just as bad as, it's just like, in fact, it is the sin of false worship, divination. The next clause here continues, Va'avan, who to Raphim, and Avan normally means trouble or harm, but it can also have the sense, Lee's Holiday says, it can mean false worship, false cult. So again, we're in the realm of idolatry, and the next word makes that very clear, who to Raphim, that's the word for idols or household gods. So in false worship and household gods, Hatzar. Hatzar is a word that, I'm trying to remember the Holiday in his lexicon gives just one word gloss for this that meant absolutely nothing to me. But
what did he say this word meant?
He says it means, let me find it, refractoriness. It means refractoriness, question mark. It's a hapax in this form. And the English versions take it basically as a synonym of rebellion, something like insubordination. What are some of the other ways that the English takes it? Presumption, arrogance. So again, what you've done, Saul, is being accused as arrogance, insubordination, but it's being compared to, again, false worship and idols. You can say you've done all this in order to worship Yahweh, but the point is, by disobeying Yahweh's word, what you've done is idolatry. Basically, it's the very opposite of what you're claiming. And the verse ends, this is the last line, Ya'an. Ya'an is a causal conjunction. It means because. But in this particular instance, it's actually giving the reason not for what precedes, but for the statement that's going to follow it. So it's the setup. It's the causal setup for the line here. Because Ma'asta et Devar Yahweh, Ma'as here with the sense of reject, because you rejected the word of Yahweh, Vayim Astka Melech, he has rejected you. He has rejected you. Notice the third person, Vav consecutive with the second person object suffix. He has rejected you from the king. From being king, you could supply. Sometimes following Ya'an like that, because when you get to the therefore statement, it will actually have Lakain, therefore. But here it's implied. Because you have rejected the word of Yahweh, therefore he has rejected you as king. Any questions on that verse? Alright, we'll just do one more verse here, verse 24, because it really continues to accent the sense of who is Saul listening to. Vayomer Sha'ul el Shemuel, katati. Finally he acknowledges that he's done something wrong. This is the first time. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. Ki avarti et pi Yahweh, v'et devareka. For I have crossed over the line of Ar, I have transgressed, direct object, Ki Yahweh, the mouth of Yahweh. oftentimes P has the extended sense of the command or the decision. Here, the direct command of Yahweh. I have transgressed the P Yahweh, the command of Yahweh, and your words. Notice it's not Yahweh's words here, it's Samuel's words. So he's specifically acknowledging, yes, you told me from Yahweh what to do, and I've crossed the line. And now he gives his explanation, ki yareti etaam, because I was afraid of the people, because I feared the people, yare. The eshma b'kolam, and I listened to their voice. I hearkened to their voice. So again, the contrast between obeying Yahweh's words or listening to the voice of others. We'll pick up. Yeah.
It is sort of a half confession, though, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
It's still okay. Yeah. I did it, but I was listening to those guys.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's still the people's fault, yeah, in a sense. But at least he's beginning to own up that is responsible, but maybe not the I quite yet.
Isn't that similar to what Aaron says after making the golden calf too? I feared the people, I listened to their voice.
It's very similar, yeah. But there are a number of places where there's this dialogue between whose voice is being listened to. Throughout the Old Testament history, that's a constant theme. Yeah. Good, we'll pick up with verse 25 next week.